Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Biweekly Geopolitical Report for September 29th, 2025. I'm Phil Adler. Recent events offer new evidence that U.S. influence around the world is diminishing. Confluence Chief Market Strategist Patrick Fearon-Hernandez joins us today to discuss the evidence and how investment strategy might adjust to acknowledge this new geopolitical reality. Patrick, Confluence has been identifying signs of decline in U.S. influence for many months now. And now in this week's report, you've identified three recent events which add fuel to the fire. Do you think this weakening trend is accelerating as America relinquishes its traditional role as world policeman?
Well, hi, Phil. Thanks for having me on the program. And to answer your question, yes, the pace of change does seem to be picking up. These events, the U.S.-China trade talks, Russian drone incursions, Israel's strike on Qatar, they all seem to show a pattern of global actors testing U.S. resolve and often finding it lacking. These days, the U.S. seems increasingly reactive rather than proactive.
Well, let's take a closer look at these three developments out of today's headlines that you've identified. First, U.S.-China trade talks. And within those talks, the effort to maintain U.S. access to the Chinese social media app TikTok. My impression when talks began months ago that there was no way for national security reasons that the U.S. would allow China to maintain control of its TikTok algorithm. Details are still coming out about this agreement as we record this, but that does appear to be what's happening. Is there anything China is really giving up in terms of control?
Well, it doesn't look like very much. The deal allows U.S. investors to take an 80% stake in TikTok's U.S. operations, and data will be stored domestically here at home. But TikTok's owner, ByteDance, retains control of the algorithm, arguably the most powerful part of the platform. Now, oversight mechanisms apparently do exist in the agreement, but we think they're limited, and it's not entirely clear that they'll be effective.
Well, the agreement to allow these oversight mechanisms appears to be the only real concession China is making to the U.S. as these broader trade talks continue. At the same time this is going on, China appears to be aggressively challenging the U.S. on semiconductors, claiming the U.S. has discriminated against the Chinese chip sector. Do you think it is clear that China has the upper hand in these talks?
Well, they're certainly acting like it. The lack of broader concessions in the trade talks and China's aggressive posture suggests they're confident. The U.S. is struggling to extract meaningful trade wins with the Chinese, and most likely because the Chinese have more economic and geopolitical leverage than people had realized before. That's concerning.
In another fairly new development, NVIDIA is looking at a ban by Chinese regulators on some of their products. Where does this fit in the total picture?
Well, it's part of the broader tech decoupling. China is signaling it can retaliate against U.S. firms, and NVIDIA's situation shows just how vulnerable American companies are in this geopolitical chess match. Again, one of the big learnings for everyone in the U.S.-China trade talks is that the Chinese have more leverage than previously known. And the flip side of that is that the U.S. has less leverage. So even if U.S. politicians and voters wanted the U.S. to reassert itself more strongly against the Chinese, we have less ability to do that than anyone understood before.
Moving on to the second event you've identified, Russian drones crossing into Polish and Romanian territory. Russia claims it was an accident. What do you think?
Well, all the evidence that we've seen suggests that's highly unlikely. The scale and coordination suggest it was deliberate. In addition, the flight paths of the drones don't show any likely targets in Ukrainian territory. For any number of reasons, it appears that the drones were sent to Poland and Romania quite deliberately.
Well, if it wasn't an accident, what was the objective?
Well, along with a lot of other outside observers, we think there basically are two different goals with the incursions. First, to test NATO's political and military response. And second, to send a message. In other words, the message that we can reach you and you can't respond effectively. It's psychological warfare, and the asymmetric nature of drone attacks makes it cost-effective for Russia. Now, incidentally, about a week after these incursions, there were also reports of Russian jet fighters temporarily crossing into NATO territory in the Baltics. If you pull all these incidents together, it appears that the Russians have taken a page from China's approach to creeping territorial aggression in the Asia-Pacific region. It seems the idea is to gradually carry out more incursions in order to normalize them, which would prompt Western democracies to get used to them and therefore confuse Western leaders if and when Russia wants to launch a real attack against NATO.
Patrick, how would you characterize the U.S. response to this so far?
Well, so far the operative word seems to be restraint. There's been condemnation, but no escalation, no strong concrete measures. That lack of deterrence is part of the broader theme that we've been talking about here. U.S. influence is simply waning.
The third event covered in your report this week is the attack by Israel on Hamas leaders in Qatar. What was notable, do you think, about this attack?
Well, quite simply, it was the boldness. I mean, staging an attack on a foreign country's sovereign territory is always a big deal, especially when that country, Qatar, isn't an avowed enemy. Similarly, the Israeli missiles flew over Saudi Arabia to hit their targets in Doha, and that's an extraordinary breach of diplomatic norms. But perhaps most telling, Israel warned the U.S. only moments before the attack, which meant that U.S. officials had no time to argue against it and stop the strike. So in many ways, this attack was just quite bold.
And how would you characterize the U.S. response to this attack?
President Trump did express frustration and anger at the Israelis, but there's been no real consequence. And again, that's the point. Israel's willingness to act independently, even at the cost of straining key alliances, shows just how global actors are now less constrained by U.S. preferences. This is a very different world from the heyday of U.S. hegemony during the Cold War and the Great Globalization.
Well, these events seem to provide more fuel for investment recommendations that Confluence has been offering for quite a while now. Bullish for commodities, especially gold. Also bullish for foreign equities, especially defense-related stocks in developed markets. These assets have performed very well recently. Is it your opinion that they have plenty of room to run?
Absolutely. Commodities like gold benefit from geopolitical instability, and we've seen that happening in various ways for some time now. In addition, we've thought defense stocks in Europe and Asia are poised to grow as governments rearm, and it's now pretty clear that that's happening. So, yes, these trends definitely seem to have legs.
You also point out in your report that Chinese equities might also be primed to perform well. What are you envisioning for the MSCI China ETF and the CSI 300 index?
Well, the forces that are starting to give a broad advantage to foreign stocks, such as the weakening dollar and at least a bit of capital flight from the U.S., should also help buoy Chinese stocks. But if China also ultimately ascends to global hegemony peacefully, that would be another potential reason for its markets to perform well. So the CSI 300 and MSCI China ETFs are positioned to benefit from increased global influence for China.
One more question to wrap up our discussion today. Do you think Chinese hegemony is a more realistic outcome today than it was, say, a year ago?
Oh, yes. As we note in our report, the U.S. is retreating on the world stage, and we're now seeing more and more evidence of that. Meanwhile, China is stepping in and asserting itself in multiple areas, such as global politics, military power, economic and trade trends, etc. While it's not inevitable, the balance of power does seem to be shifting. Investors should prepare for a world quite unlike the unipolar world of U.S. hegemony that we all got used to for decades, and that has big implications for investors.
Thank you, Patrick. The title of this week's report is U.S. Influence on the Wane, New Evidence. You can find a link to the written report on the Confluence website, confluenceinvestment.com. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice. Also, this information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.